John 15, 1 through 11 is our text, but we're going to read the first 17 verses. Let's listen carefully to God's word together now. John 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Start verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So far, God's word. Well, let's come before him now and ask him for a blessing on that word. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been reminded already in our reading this afternoon of the importance of your word. We pray that your word may soak deeply into the very fibre of our being this afternoon, that it may soak deep into our hearts, that we may take on board the wonderful promises that are here in this word, in your word. Your word to us this afternoon. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Lord, keep your promise to us that your Spirit would lead us into truth. Lead us into truth this afternoon, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, if we were together at the moment, I'd ask for a show of hands. Boys and girls, you can do that at home. I can't see you, but you can listen along. How many of you have had a good crop of grapes this year? How many of you have had lots of grapes? I don't know about you, but our grapes were wonderful. We had an amazing crop this year. Lots and lots of fruit, and a whole lot of it's been made into grape juice, a cordial. Add that together with a bit of soda water. It's delicious. Well, we don't know what the grape harvest was like when Jesus, in Passover week, when Jesus was about to go to his death. But we do know from those times that vines were everywhere. There were pictures of vines in the temple where Jesus would have gone with his servants. There were vines in many vineyards all over the nation of Israel. The disciples, as they were listening to Jesus speak here in John 14 and 15, had just taken part in the first time, the first institution, the first time the Lord's Supper was held. So the fruit of the vine would have been very much on their minds. Wine on the table. Thinking a bit bigger, the nation of Israel was often described as a vineyard with problems, a vineyard with difficulties, a vineyard that God had to come through and clean out. And so Jesus here presents himself as the perfect fulfillment of the vineyard of Israel. He is the complete, perfect, pure vine. And it's this picture of a vine that we need to have in the back of our minds this afternoon as we think about how Christians bear fruit. As we bear, as Heidelberg Catechism question answer 64 says, as we bear fruits of gratitude. Our theme this afternoon is that we are to abide in Christ so that we will bear fruit. We are to abide in Christ so that we will bear fruit. And the first thing we're going to see this afternoon is that Christians bear fruit. That's our first point. Christians bear fruit. It's a fact. If you are a Christian, you will bear fruit. That's what our passage says. If you don't bear fruit, you're not a Christian. Period. That's what verse 2 says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Verse 6 puts it even stronger. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Boys and girls, you imagine cutting off a branch of a grapevine and putting it on an outside table at home. And you just leave it out there on that table. Do you think that that branch that's been cut off from the vine is going to be able to bear grapes? Is going to be able to start to sprout leaves and bear fruit? No, it can't. It's been cut off. Now, we need to be careful here. Jesus is not teaching here that you can lose your faith. That you can be in Jesus Christ and then lose your faith. No, Jesus makes it very clear earlier in John that every single person whom the Father has given to him cannot be lost. But what is clear in our passage here is that those who are in Christ Jesus will bear fruit. But it also speaks about an important part of bearing fruit, and that's there in verse 2. It's pruning. Pruning is a really vital part of growing good grapes, of growing more grapes, of having a good harvest, a good crop. And a good vine keeper will go through and prune the branches. Does that early in the season so that you get good bunches of grapes forming. Now, grapevines don't have feelings. But humans do. When you cut yourself, boys and girls, it hurts. Sometimes you bleed. Even a paper cut can be really, really painful. Well, at least I think so. And it's the same spiritually. As the vine dresser, our Heavenly Father works on us. It can be incredibly painful. As God uses trials, challenges, struggles, disappointments, physical struggles, mental struggles, spiritual struggles to shape us, to help us grow. As we learn from our mistakes, as God uses others to prune us. But it is the way that we grow. It's the way that we grow in Jesus Christ. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We are waiting, groaning, but growing as we await the return of our Saviour. As we await the completion of the work that's going on in us through the vine dresser. We are pruned so that we can bear fruit. Well, what is that fruit that we're challenged to bear? Well, when we think of fruit, we need to think, and we often think, first of all, not exclusively, but we need to think of the fruits of the Spirit. Boys and girls, can you say those together with me now? I know you know them. We spoke about them this morning as well. Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, Paul says, in Galatians 5, there is no law. This is the sort of fruit that we are called to bear, that we bear, that's fruit of a life in Jesus Christ. So a question we need to ask ourselves this afternoon is this: do I bear fruit? What sort of fruit do I bear? Am I growing in faith? How would I know if I'm growing in faith? Maybe that's a question you need to ask each other. How do you see me bearing fruit? Now, it should be pointed out at this right here. That no vine is alike. No branches are alike. Different branches bear more or less fruit. There are different amounts. Sometimes there are good seasons where there are lots of grapes. Sometimes there's not that much more fruit. It's like that in the Christian life. But the point is here that Jesus is making is that Christians will bear fruit. It's an encouragement to us as well this afternoon, brothers and sisters, that if we're in Jesus Christ, we will bear fruit. No matter how small or insignificant it is, we will bear some. That's part of being in Jesus Christ. But how do we bear fruit? We've touched on what that fruit is, but how do we become fruitful? How do we become more fruitful? Well, we see that in our second point this afternoon. We bear fruit by abiding in Jesus Christ. That's our second point. We bear fruit by abiding in Christ. There's a beautiful picture given here of Jesus as the vine. The Father being the vine dresser, pruning us, shaping us. We, the branches, being pruned. We being nourished as branches as we connect into the vine, a picture of Jesus Christ feeding us. A wonderful truth that we have there in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Abiding in Christ, we abide in him, he abides in us. A wonderful relationship as we are together spiritually. And that's made possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. As we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. We're mixing our metaphors a little bit here, but here the body of Christ is described as a body. Picture of the Holy Spirit joining us into that body. We could take that picture and say the Holy Spirit joining us into the vine of Jesus Christ. Someone has described the Holy Spirit as the sap that flows through the vine. And we need to be careful here. Our text doesn't actually say that. But I don't think it's too far a stretch to say it's the Holy Spirit that takes the nourishment of Jesus Christ and applies it to our lives. But how do we bear fruit? Abiding in Christ. We abide in Him. And we're going to look at what this looks like, what that means practically shortly. But before we do that, I don't want you to miss this really important point of the passage. So pay attention here. Verse 5 says this, I am the vine, Jesus speaking, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll say it again. Apart from me, apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Christ is the source of all things. It's Christ's grace extended to us that allows us, equips us, enables us to bear fruit. Without that, we have no heart. Without that, without Christ as the source, we become simply box tickers. Christianity just becomes another set of rules, another bunch of rules that we live our lives by, but that's it. It's an empty shell. It's outward box ticking, but inwardly in our hearts, meaning nothing. We know this, but we miss this point so often. Christ is the source. He is the vine. We are the branches. We can do nothing good without Jesus Christ. We cannot bear fruit without Jesus Christ. But what is good? What is good? Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, question and answer 91, asks this question. It's a question we come across sometimes as a congregation as well. It's good to clarify this in our minds too. Heidelberg Catechism, question 91, asks this. What do we do that is good? The answer is this. Only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for His glory. And not that which is based on what we think is right, or on established human tradition. What do we do what is good? Whatever arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for His glory. Now that doesn't mean that a non-Christian can't do good things. There is much good being done in this world. We see that in our country as people are reaching out to neighbors, friends, those who are vulnerable. You don't have to be a Christian surgeon to do a good job, to do a good thing in someone's life. But what it does mean is that good that is done has no eternal significance if a person is not in Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, every single good thing, the greatest thing that anyone can do, the best thing that anyone can do on this earth, is eternally meaningless. You can't be a good person and get into hell You can't be a good person and get into heaven by the good that you do. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot do eternal meaning good. Good that has eternal, lasting effect. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot bear fruit that is good. But how do we bear that fruit? We bear fruit by abiding in Him. How do we abide in Him? Well, verse 3 gives us an initial indication. Verse 3, Jesus says this, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Verse 7, Jesus says this, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." We abide in Jesus Christ through his word. The word that Jesus has given to us. His word, all of God's word. Not just the words of the gospel, but every single part of God's word. What does that mean, practically? Well, it means that God's word should be an integral part of our life. All of it. How is it a part of our life? Well, we listen to God's word as we're doing now, making the most of the opportunities on a Sunday to come before him and hear his word explained to us. We study God's word together in fellowship groups. But it means far, far more than that too. It means reading God's word ourselves. It means studying God's word. It means meditating on God's word. It can even mean memorizing God's word. And then it means doing it. Obeying it. That's what Jesus says there in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How do we show our love for God? We keep his commandments. We obey him. And boys and girls, that makes sense, doesn't it? You say, and you can say, you love your parents, you love your dad and your mum. But are you going to say that you love them and then refuse to ever listen to them? Refuse to do what they tell you to do? That's not showing love, is it? Now, some people are very hard to know how to please. You ask them, what would you like as a present? They say, oh, well, surprise me. And you go and you get this present and you think, this is going to be awesome. And they look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's not really what I wanted. Well, we don't have that problem with God, brothers and sisters, friends. We don't have that problem at all. He's given us 66 books of the Bible that explain how we can show love to him. How we can abide in Christ by obeying him, by learning about him, seeking to know what pleases him, all out of gratitude. All out of gratitude for the love that he has shown us. Again, remember, how can we obey him? How can we abide in Christ? Only because of God's love for us. It's not a do this, obey God and become right with God. But show your love to him. Obey him because of what he has done for you. Bear fruits of gratitude. Obey him because of his love for you. We bear fruit. As we abide in Jesus Christ, as we allow his word to soak into our lives, as the Holy Spirit takes that word and presses against our heart, warming our hearts when they need to be warmed, challenging us when we need to be challenged. We bear fruit by abiding in Christ. If we are Christians, we will bear fruit. But there are also rewards given to us. And again, as I mentioned rewards this morning, these rewards are unmerited. They are God's grace to us, but they are rewards nonetheless. And that brings us to our third and final point this afternoon, the rewards of abiding. Verse 7 gives us the first reward. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now that's fantastic, isn't it? Ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you want. Go to God and ask for anything, and he will give it to you. Well, that's not exactly what the verse says, is it? We need to take into account the whole verse. There's a condition applied to it. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If we are abiding in Jesus Christ, we will be seeking direction through his word. We will be asking his questions, asking the right questions. We'll be seeking to do the will of our Heavenly Father, as Jesus says. As he kept his Father's commandments, as we are encouraged to do the same. You see, God isn't some vending machine. You pop your coin in, or you pop your prayer in, and out pops what you want. Now, if we're abiding in him, we will seek his will. We will want to see the kingdom of God advance, and our prayers will be gospel prayers in line of the message of Jesus Christ going out, seeing God's kingdom expanded and extended. Praying that our Heavenly Father will be glorified, verse 8, as we bear fruit and so prove to be his disciples. That doesn't mean that bearing fruit makes us disciples. No, it means that bearing fruit shows that we are his disciples. Again, Christians will bear fruit. Answered prayer is one of the rewards of abiding in him. Bringing God glory is another reward as well, bringing praise to God. But we also do so living with the assurance and the promise of Christ's love for us. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Think about that. The love of God the Father for God the Son. A perfect love, a holy love, a pure love, a good love. Jesus Christ loves us the same way. He loves us in a way that no other human being can ever love us. I'm not sure if you're still with me there. I just had a disconnection and a reconnection. I'll just try again. He loves us with a perfect love, and a love that no one else can love us. And apologies if I'm repeating myself here. He gives us an example. The example of Jesus Christ, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says there in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We have the example of Jesus Christ to follow as well. And then we also have joy. A joy that can only come from being united, from abiding in Jesus Christ. A joy that will increase as life goes on, till the day comes that our joy will be totally full when Christ returns to take us home. A joy, as one person says, a joy inexpressible, a joy that we can't begin to understand here on this earth. Brothers and sisters, that is all ours if we are in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are to bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit? If not, that requires a further look. It requires some self-examination this afternoon, this week. Why aren't you bearing fruit? Maybe you're living with a false hope. Then the call this afternoon is to come back, to abide in Jesus Christ. Let his word soak in you so that you can bear fruit. Or maybe you're going through a tough period that you don't see much fruit. Well, be patient. Go back to Jesus Christ. Abide in him. Learn about him. Obey him. Remembering. Always remembering. Never forgetting that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. He is the source of our obedience. Without him, we can do no real, true, eternal good. Abide in Jesus Christ. Bear fruit. We will if we belong to him. Let's ask our Father now for help in bearing fruit. Let's come before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful promises that we have in your word this afternoon. That you abide in us. That if we are in you, if we belong to you, we will bear fruit. Help us, Lord, to see the fruit in our life, no matter how small and insignificant we think that it is. Lord, draw us closer and closer into Jesus Christ. Use your word to work in our hearts, to mold us, to shape us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. Help us not to try and do so in our own strength, to simply become Christians who tick the boxes, who do everything right externally. But Lord, grow in our hearts that love for Jesus Christ, the love that you have for your Son, Lord. May we feel also, may we that love grow inside us too. We thank you for your graciousness and the rewards of abiding as well. We thank you for the beautiful joy of answered prayer. We thank you that we can ask you and know that you will give us if it is in accord with your will. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory by bearing fruit. That's a wonderful encouragement in itself as well. We thank you for the assurance we have of Christ's love. And may that joy, Heavenly Father, within us grow. Give us joy if we are lacking joy at the moment. And we long and look forward to that day when your Son returns to take us home. When that joy will be a joy beyond anything that we can experience here on earth. Lord, we pray that this hope may be true of everyone listening here, watching here this afternoon. We pray that this will be true for those people, who our heart aches to know that at this moment in time they are walking a path apart from you. Soften their hearts, we pray. Don't cut them off from your vine, we pray, but rather help them to grow. Lord, we pray especially this afternoon for anyone who is struggling to see fruit in their life. Encourage them this afternoon. Use us to encourage them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all of this is your work and not ours. Help us to bear fruit in gratitude for what you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for taking part once again this afternoon. Been a blessing to be able to spend some time in God's Word together. And a request, and I'll remind you about this in emails through this week, but take some family pictures and send those in to me. And then next week before the service, what I'll do is, if you see that screen there that says stream starting soon, a few minutes before we start, I will put a slideshow up of our church family so that we can remember and see pictures of each other as we start to come into worship together as well. But I'll remind you about that through the week. Go now, however, and hear God's blessing to you this day, this glorious Easter Sunday. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. And all God's people said, Amen. Have a wonderful week, folks. Keep talking to each other. Keep encouraging each other. Keep reaching out to each other as you can. May God bless you.